Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
First reading is from 1 Kings. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively, Psalm 85. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Truly, your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway.
The second reading is a reading from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes, concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not yet believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Maybe it's happened to you, maybe not. I know there are often times when I have been awakened from a deep sleep, and for a period of time, I live in a weird kind of in-between space. Groggy, my family calls it. Sometimes it is brief. Other times, it can extend for quite some time. And in that space, I experience the world quite differently. Molina and Rohrbach call this an altered state of consciousness. They describe a whole list of these kinds of experiences. Sometimes these states are individual. Other times they are experienced by several people collectively. So I'm asking you to hang on to that experience of living in a space that straddles between two kinds of reality. If you're at all like me, I shrug that experience off quite readily. There are others who do not shrug it off. And 2,000 years ago, I suspect that both realities were experienced, well, more really than modern people understand. We hear today that Jesus finishes feeding the multitude, then sends his disciples across the lake. He finally gets some alone time on the mountaintop. Of course, like the desert, mountains are seen and understood as chaotic and dangerous places to go. Mountains are also where God, and maybe even demons, may dwell. They are a place invested with much energy and concern. That Jesus can go into deserts and go on to mountains without being bothered helps the first people to hear Matthew's gospel identify Jesus as one having divine authority. Early in the morning, after praying, Jesus heads out to catch up with his disciples. When his disciples look out across the water, they are certain they are seeing a ghost. Whether they had drifted off to sleep or were just so stressed by their circumstance in rough water, wind blowing all around, or by some other cause, they all see and experience the same thing. Molina and Rohrbach call this time a consensual altered state of consciousness. All the disciples are in it together. When Jesus beckons Peter to come to him, Peter is still in that altered state and does well. But when he comes to or shifts from one reality to another, then he falls in. here's how Molina and Rohrbach describe it in their social science commentary on the Synoptic Gospels. This event is reported as a visionary experience of the disciples, even if it strains our Western credulity to believe it to have been an actual event in the life of Jesus and his disciples. The story relates a real experience of a real event in alternate reality. In Matthew, Peter sinks because he has exited alternate reality and has returned to the usual world where walking on water is simply not possible. Peter transferred from one dimension of reality to another. In that altered state, that other dimension of reality, the disciples see Jesus in a new way. Seeing Jesus as divine is amplified when Jesus and Peter get into the boat and the sea is calmed. Only God has authority over nature. So the disciples respond to God who is present with them in that place and time. They worship Jesus and name him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a powerful experience of God being present and rearranging reality. This week, I have pondered what such an experience may feel like. I've heard members of St. Andrews talk about kayaking on the river, and others talk about mountain getaways. The pandemic has canceled our Rainbow Trail trip for the first time in over 30 years. I listen as people describe springtime broods of bluebirds and eaglets. There is a way in which these experiences rearrange reality. I hear some speak with a reverence that suggests they have encountered the divine. In a similar way, as the world lives in the reality of COVID-19, there is a way in which this nation has been drawn into a time when many dimensions of reality coexist. If there are consensual ways of registering what is going on, they are not singular or common. Over and over again, people react differently to this disturbance. These differences affect the way individuals and groups see and interpret and experience this time. There are ways that this year has induced a deep and abiding grief upon grief as lives are disrupted over and over again. There is a way that people keep grasping for hope, for any glimmer of light. In the midst of it all, without common perspective, without common experience, without common interpretation, the grief, the loss, the disorientation comes out in all kinds of ways. Oftentimes, that grief and fear manifests in ways where people do not experience support or care. Whether we describe this time as a desert journey, or a mountaintop excursion, or seafaring, it has all the marks of a dangerously chaotic time that threatens life. The question remains, how shall the faithful people of God enter and dwell in this time, in this reality? No one can define the answer. Among the people of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, the community will arrive together at an answer for what it looks like to walk through the desert or to awaken in rough waters. Jesus frames the question another way to Peter. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" In the midst of this time, when humanity is getting a real humility check, it is important to focus on the one who accompanies the faithful, who walks with you and me, who has authority to calm the sea, to enter the chaos, to bring us through, To be sure, the faithful must do their part. In our case, the emerging guidance is clear. Physical distance, wear a mask, avoid crowds, watch for the symptoms, follow the guidelines. The greatest challenge to human humility, especially in the liberty conscience of the United States of America, is to put the good of the whole community above personal freedom. May it be so that when we fall out of the reality of anxiety, fear, grief, and disorientation, that the faithful will fall into the reality of God's authority, guidance, protection, and promise. Let us respond in worship that acknowledges Jesus as the true Son of God.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.